Mecum Auctions, the world's largest collector car auction company, returns to Indy with Dana Mecum's 37th Original Spring Classic, May 10th through the 18th at the Indiana State Fairgrounds. 3,000 muscle cars, Corvettes, exotics, and more. Broadcast on Motor Trend TV and streaming live on Max. From avid collectors to those new to the Mecum experience, we welcome everyone. Register to bid now at Mecum.com.
The Indigo bus fire was not the bus. As per the reporting and an arrest, it was arson. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Good to be with you. The phone number, 317-239-9393. This is why you don't make assumptions. You wait. First, was everybody okay? It was Matt Bear who got the footage from an eagle-eyed listener, someone who follows WIBC traffic on X, of this Indigo bus, red line, completely engulfed in flame. Incredible video that we got first here at WIBC. This was Meridian and 38th next to the station. As has been now reported, there is a suspect, a 45-year-old, has been charged with two counts of arson, damage more than $5,000, which is a level 4 felony, according to Fox 59, and one count of arson endangering human life, which is a level 4 felony. The report is that this person had a bottle that was filled with gasoline or an accelerant, threw it on the ground, lit it on fire, ran out of the bus. They, according to first reports, suffered minor burns. There were six people on the bus total. They all got out. That's how I had the reporting, that it's possible that will change. And everybody was safe, which is good and incredible. And the story itself is nuts. Why is somebody doing this on a bus? We've got the story also at WIBC.com, so you can check it out there, including that original video of the fire. I know my issues with the red line. A terrible idea. Blue line, purple line, this is not value for the city of Indianapolis, taking up these traffic lanes. Not at all. Electric buses that don't work. I have said it. I will not apologize for a single word that I have said. I have been proven correct at every turn. When a bus is on fire, I'm not looking to go, ha ha. I'm looking to say, oh, damn, is everybody okay? The responsible course is the right one. I'm glad everybody's okay. I want to know much more about this madness. Guy tried to set a bus on fire. Why? Now, there is something about safety protocols about what takes place on a bus. Well, this it would be interesting to hear how Indigo kind of looks at that, because look, they're going to run buses. I'm not even if I wanted to get rid of all the buses, I would never win that battle. What are the safety protocols in a situation like this? What level of training do drivers have? I mean, that's a fine question. That's not an attack question. You got to plan for these things. Crazy things do happen, not just somebody trying to commit arson. So this is an ugly story. And I only hope we will learn, to the extent that it can be, what brought this about. I'm glad everybody's okay. That could have been very, very ugly. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Yesterday, I was having a conversation about NASA spending $3 billion to get to Saturn's moon Titan and whether or not this should be the role of government. And I admit clearly, freely, that my love of NASA and exploration, it goes counter to my desires for a small, streamlined federal government. I get that on this one subject, I am a hypocrite. I get it. I love it. Can't get enough of it. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. But I can make the argument, and did yesterday, that when you take a look at China's moves on the moon, for example, that space is going to be weaponized. Space is going to be utilized. And there is an argument to be made for government involvement. You can argue that the space race empowered and emboldened a nation. I'm talking about the days of Kennedy. We can discuss the stagnation and then maybe no need for it because private industry could do it better, whether it be SpaceX or Blue Marble, et cetera. And now you take a look at what China's doing. You're like, we should be involved. Then there's this. Russia vetoes a UN resolution calling for the prevention of a dangerous nuclear arms race in space. China abstained, Russia opposed in the 15-member Security Council. It's interesting that this happened after I had done this story because it proves the thesis. You don't want to weaponize space. You think it's crazy. I hear you. I don't think that you are wrong for believing that. I should say it differently. You have absolutely every right to believe that. But Russia and China are still going to do it. They're going to do it. I have no reason to think that India won't get there. So now what's the plan? And not only are Russia and China going to do it, they stated so. The abstention is the voting no, and they didn't have to because China, because Russia, possibly their proxy in this conversation, voted no. Just be aware, this is what's going on. This is what is happening. And so, yes, I do support the federal government paying attention, and I do support the federal government being engaged because it is a national security issue. I'm more than willing to debate it anywhere. The popcorn moment, let's do the thing. It's the story you need to hear to believe. Then grab your popcorn because there is more. I think I'll hit more on Erin Burnett's pearl-clutching nonsense over there at CNN. Which it involves a very, very interesting type of turn where when Democrats do something, it's moral. When Republicans do something, well, why are you doing that? Erin Burnett of CNN asking the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, why do you need to get involved with the removal of a president of a private university? In this case, calling for the resignation of President Shafiq over there at Columbia University. You would a question that would never be asked to somebody on the political left. It's another great example of where these so-called news outlets are. But in Tennessee, they voted to allow teachers to carry a firearm. They passed the bill allowing teachers and school staff to be armed. This is Representative Justin Jones. He was one of the guys who he was taken out of his position in the House and then got reinstated by the people. Oh, he's everybody's a bigot. Everybody's a racist. This is his entire argument. Finger on the dumb button just in case, because I may have missed some part of it. But he wants you to know that the idea of an armed teacher, morally insane, which... It's not.
This bill is morally insane because a year after a mass shooting took the lives of 3 9-year-olds and 3 adults, this is the response of my Republican colleagues not to pass red flag laws, not to pass universal background checks or a ban on assault weapons, not safe storage laws, but to expand firearms and put more guns in our schools. When the teachers of my district, the teachers of Tennessee, are saying we want to be armed with supplies and books and fair pay, not with firearms. I mean, this bill is insanity, and it just goes to show that we are working with a Republican supermajority here in Tennessee that puts the lives of our children beneath the campaign contributions of the gun industry. That is morally insane. That is shameful. That is unacceptable.
That anybody in Tennessee votes for this man is the thing that is insane, shameful, and unacceptable. You don't have to carry a firearm, and none of it has to do with supplies or fair pay. Fair pay. You catch that, right? It means nothing. But it is the line of people who are progressives who desperately want to, well, take from you fair pay. Doesn't mean anything. Just a nonsense statement. You will have armed guards to protect a jewelry store, but not a school. That's the argument in response. What's your move? Well, we shouldn't have to do that. Oh, I agree, but we live in this world. Well, if we got rid of all the guns, that's not going to happen because you don't have a mechanism to take them. So go try. Representative Justin Jones of Tennessee, go try and take the guns. You know what? Just start with Tennessee. Let's see how you do. I'll watch. Tell me how you're going to take them. But you see, I know how you're going to do it from law-abiding citizens. You're going to put a gun to their head and tell them they can't see their children until they give up the guns. That's what you're going to do, you monster. How are you going to get the guns from the people who are criminals? How is that going to work? But that's not the only story out there. The other one is that Bill Barr, the former attorney general who Trump hates, he's endorsing Trump.
Yeah, well, I've said, yeah, the choice now is a binary choice between these two candidates. And of the two, I support President Trump. And one of the reasons is because I think many of our critical problems, including the regulation, crime, restoring law and order, restoring control over our borders, rebuilding our defense in this increasingly dangerous world, standing by our allies, I trust President Trump to do that much more so than President Biden, I think. And I also worry very much that in the batting circle with Joe Biden is Vice President Kamala Harris. I feel that under these circumstances, the Republicans have to win in November.
This is the Bill Barr that Donald Trump has referred to as weak and lazy and lethargic. I read a post where Trump was thanking him for the endorsement and that because of it, he'll take away lethargic. Good God, we live in this country. I think Bill Barr is explaining how a lot of people feel. Trusting Joe Biden. Pause, Joe Biden. Oh, you didn't hear pause. Don't worry. I'll share that with you coming up, right? Some moves in IndyCar where Team Penske takes a punch to the face with Joseph Newgarden, who got the victory at St. Petersburg, and Scott McLaughlin getting disqualified for utilizing something called push to pass. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Good to be with you. The question is, A, what in the bloody world is it? And B, was this oversight? Was this cheating? They're implementing this now, taking away the victory. It changes certainly points totals, but does it change how people view Team Penske and how they view the rest of the season? Kurt Darling joins us. He is our man at the track. of course, from the WIBC newsroom, but the man follows racing like it's his job. Let's start with the basics, Kurt Darling. What in the bloody world is pushed to pass? What's the problem with it? And what did Team Penske do here?
So the basic premise of push to pass, Tony, is in a nutshell, they have drivers have a button on their steering wheel and they can push it, and it basically gives them an extra boost of horsepower in order to enable them to make a pass around an opponent, thus push to pass. And it's also heavily regulated by IndyCar, and you only have about 200 seconds worth of push to pass. So if you hold it down, however many seconds you push it down is how many seconds you burn off of that push to pass that you have available. Well, IndyCar regulates that. And in the case of this particular instance right here, Tony, IndyCar has been testing the new hybrid engine that they're likely going to implement later on this year. Well, they did some testing in the practice at St. Petersburg, in which they allowed drivers to have push to pass in certain instances of that practice. Well, when Penske was then getting back into race trim, based on what the statements from Team Penske says, it seems like in essence, the engineers forgot to take this particular software for the hybrid engine out of their current race day setup, which is not allowed. And thus it gave Newgarden, McLaughlin and Will Power the ability to have push to pass on starts and restarts. Now, you're not allowed to use push to pass on starts and restarts in a race day setting at the moment. And it was found that Newgarden and McLaughlin did use the push to pass on restarts and starts in St. Petersburg because it was indicated that it was available to them. Now, Will Power had the presence of mind not to use his push to pass because he knew that that's the rule, that you can't use it on starts and restarts. So Will Power only got dinged 10 points in the overall championship, but Newgarden and McLaughlin, because they used that push to pass, got disqualified from the race.
Now, this is where it gets interesting, Kurt, because even if the software should not have been there, right? That's a fault of the engineers. Sure, fine, great. I don't quite accept it myself, but neither here nor there. Talking to Kurt Darling from the WIBC newsroom, our man at the track. If you know that you're not allowed to use it on starts and restarts, and Joseph Newgarden and Scott McLaughlin are using it on starts and restarts, that's a problem. Why is the heat on them, or is the heat on Team Penske?
A little bit of both, Tony, because remember, the drivers have the indication that push to pass is made available to them. So out of habit, if it's available to them, they are going to use it. The problem here is that their software, because they had that software on there, it had the indication that it was available on the starts and restarts. So if you're a driver and you're used to seeing, hey, it's available, okay, I'm going to use it. Well, it came down to a presence of mind thing, which is illustrated from Will Power. He knew and remembered the rule that you're not supposed to use push to pass on starts and restarts, so he didn't use it. So it's kind of chalked up to, well, it was indicated available, so therefore, out of force of habit, Newgarden and McLaughlin probably used it. But at the same time, it shouldn't have been indicated that it was made available. So it's kind of on the driver for kind of forgetting the rule, but at the same time, it's also on the team for making sure that they had the right parameters available to them and that the directions were clear for the driver to understand at that particular juncture.
All right, even I'm not buying that. How is this going to be seen in the paddock? How is this going to be seen as you start heading into the month of May, the Sancio Grand Prix, to which we have tickets to give away coming up. Stick around for that and for the Indy 500.
Well, it's basically kind of like, okay, this happened, we're going to be moving forward. That's basically the indication of it. There hasn't been any talk from Newgarden at all. He's maintained radio silence on all social media platforms when it comes to this issue. Of course, Tim Cindric, he made the statement saying that it was basically an oversight on their part and they're accepting the penalty. Scott McLaughlin, though, he said on Twitter that, yeah, I made a mistake in using the push to pass, but I still don't think I gained a competitive advantage by using it, even though there's been a bunch of videos saying that there's been a lot of really easy overtakes that they had at St. Pete. So that's kind of how it's being taken in the paddock. But at the moment right now, basically everybody's just moving forward, getting ready for Barber this weekend. Pato O'Ward now credited the winner for St. Petersburg. And basically it's made a big shift in the points as well, because now Scott Dixon is the championship leader in the points. Newgarden had the lead before that race was taken away from him. He is now down in 11th on the point standing, so he has a lot of ground to make up. So, as you said, kind of a big punch in the face for Team Penske there as far as the championship points are concerned.
Kurt Darling from the WIBC newsroom, our man at the track. I appreciate you breaking it down. You're going to hear a lot more from Kurt as we get ready for the month of May. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Joe Biden making news yesterday for all the wrong reasons. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Great to be with you. 317-239-9393. That's how you get to be a part of the show. I say to you, without any hesitation, that there is simply no possible way that we're going to see Joe Biden as the nominee. They can run me all the stories they want. Donald Trump's poll numbers plummet with independents. They're flocking to Joe Biden, are they? Is this what you want me to believe? This was Joe Biden yesterday. In a speech he was giving, he's utilizing the teleprompters. And at one moment, he looks directly at the teleprompter. He's looking directly at it. And he is doing what he does. He's reading. Not sure what he's reading, but he's reading. And this is what the President of the United States says.
Imagine what we can do next. Four more years. Pause.
Four more years. Four more years. Four more years.
Let's forget the cheering for a second. What just happened there?
Four more years. Pause. Four more years. Pause. 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 Pause.
He's reading off the teleprompter, and it said pause. Pause for the applause. Four more years, and the President of the United States reads pause.
Well, that's going to do it for all of us here at Channel 4 News. You stay classy, San Diego. I'm Ron Burgundy.
That's what happened. That's what happened. He doesn't know what he's reading. He doesn't know what he's saying. This is elder abuse. It's disgusting. And anybody who thinks the country is safer with him in charge is out of their mind. Just wrong. I didn't ask you if you like Trump. I don't actually care. Why? You don't like him, don't vote for him. Fine. But if you think that Joe Biden is better for the country, how can you possibly think this? That's impossible.
Four more years. Pause.
You don't get to make that argument. Take that weak sauce and shove it. You're just a ridiculous child, not you, them, if you're going to say that. This isn't okay. And it just puts me back in the camp where I've been this whole time. Biden will not be the nominee. Nope. If Biden is the nominee, Democrats are saying they had nobody else. Nobody else. And that is nuts. I'll get into more of it on Tony Katz today at noon.